Midah of Precious, abstinence. And last week we explained that one idea of Precious is that it is not an ideal, it's not the goal, it's a means to reach a goal. And we explained that the fundamental difference between Christianity and Judaism, where Christianity teaches that abstinence is an ideal, and that the more a person can stay away from this world and renounce all material physical pleasures, the better it is, because the physical world is basically a test put here to tempt people, and if you can avoid it, the better. A nun, a priest, a monk, don't talk, don't wear too many nice clothing, don't have any money, don't get married. Right, that's the ideal. But if you can't do that, and you know that by doing that you're going to abuse these tithes because you're not going to be able to control them, so then better to channel them in a permissible way than to abstain. So indulgence is the lesser of two evils, when the abstinence will lead you to abuse the thing. Okay, so therefore it says that it's better to marry than to burn. In other words, really, it's not a good thing to get married altogether, because a person should abstain from physical pleasures of marriage. But if he knows that by doing that he's going to end up abusing that and abusing people or whatever, or doing committing sins, then better to get married and channel those drives and desires in a positive way than to abuse them. Okay? This probably applies to most nuns, priests, or whatever, who don't really take advice from the New Testament and who are abusing a lot of people rather than getting married. Okay, in any case, that's just an aside. Aside, thrive from the fact that most of them aren't abstaining anyway. When they bomb the convents seminaries, well, they're called seminaries, it's a different thing. Convents, monasteries, that's it. The convents and monasteries during World War II, inevitably they found that there was a tunnel between the two, and they found bones of little babies buried there. Now, you don't have to be too smart to figure out what that means. Right? Here were the nuns, here were the priests, and I guess they figured since the nuns are married to God and the priests are married to God, so if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So, okay, well, the kids here don't know what I'm talking about, we'll just leave it to that. See, right, I guess so. I'm going to have the Ku Klux Klan here. Okay, in any case, so that is Christian theology. The Torah says just the opposite, that a person should indulge in every pleasure that the Torah, that the Rabbanu Shem created. And not only that, not only did the Rabbanu Shem give us permissible pleasures, but even everything that he asserted, he gave something that's mutter opposite, which some people learn to say the same thing. The Rabbanu Shem doesn't want anything, any pleasure to be prohibited from a person. Therefore, even though chazer is aser, he made a fish with a brain that tastes like chazer, the shibuta, in order that you should know what chazer tastes like. You shouldn't be denied that pleasure either. It says the chachamim never had the ability to feel what it's like to bring a korban chatas. They wanted that experience. So they became nazirim so they could bring a korban chatas. You see, from there, Yitzchak Avinu, before he gave the brachas to, he thought was Esav, he had to have a good meal to arouse all of his feelings. The person's complete when he, all of his emotions, all of his drives, all of his desires are fulfilled in a positive way. And I guess, like we said also, Maharshi Shiva said that that's what Kedusha is. Kedusha is prushim, to be separated, but not totally separated, because you have to be Kodesh like Hashem. And Hashem isn't separated from the world. Everything in the world is what's it called, exists because the Rabbanu Shlom has a connection to it. If he would take away that connection, it wouldn't exist. But the Rabbanu Shlom isn't affected by the world. He gives life to the world. So a person has to be kodesh like that. He has to use everything in this world, not be dragged down by it, not abuse it, but use it in a positive way. That is one way of learning the idea of precious. And according to that, there is no real ideal. The ideal would be to indulge. Right? As the Medrash says, that Yerushalmi says, that a person is going to be held responsible for everything he could have enjoyed in this world and didn't. That's in the positive way. So that's one way of understanding that. But I have a long-standing argument with Rav Aaron. This is one of our long-standing arguments. There's others. And Rav Aaron brought me many proofs that indulgence is a goal in itself. Right? There are great tzaddikim who separate themselves from this world. There's stories about the great tzaddikim who put extra salt in their food so they wouldn't have any enjoyment from eating it, and people didn't sleep in any beds. So what's it called? Satmar Rebbe. What's it called? I think Rabbi Fisher told me that, I don't know where he heard this story from, but he said that, what's it called, that the Satmar Rebbe and the Rav Ruderman used to spend, I guess, their summers or vacation, whatever, in a certain hotel. You know, what's it called, in the mountains, somewhere, whatever. And the chambermaid, a Goya, what's it called, one day said to Rabbi Ruderman, "I'm going now to make up the holy rabbi's room." So Ruderman said, "Why is he a holy rabbi? What's it called? And, you know, there are other rabbis here. Why is he the holy rabbi?" He says, "Because in all the time, the years that he's come here, I've never had to make his bed. He never slept in a bed. So I know he's a holy rabbi." So in any case, okay, it would seem that there are ideas of precious being a goal in itself. People should separate themselves from the world. Right? Not necessarily only because they're afraid they're going to abuse it, because a lot of these people don't seem to be in danger of abusing things if they would do it, and they've adopted separate themselves. Right? Again, could be that they know themselves, and they know that if they would, you know, get involved, they would get pulled after it, and it would end up being negative to them. So therefore, they went to extremes of separating themselves from the world. But it's not mistaber that applies to every single one of them. So it does seem like there is some kind of positive, intrinsic value of separating yourself from the world. Okay. We always explain the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's another part of this machlokas of kachi darkish of Torah. If you want to know if you're on the path of Torah, then you should eat only bread and salt and drink only measured water and sleep on the floor and live a life of privation. We always explain that to mean, and there are definitely Meforshim, Rishonim, who learn it like that, that it doesn't mean you have to live a life like that. Because right? Very few people live a life like that. Right? Who are from. But it means that if you would live a life like that, you could still feel fortunate if the Torah is the ikkar in your life. If those things are the ikkar in your life, then you'd feel miserable if you lived a life like that. And then you're not b'derech HaTorah, because obviously those things are the main thing in your life, and that's how we learn it. Varen, according to his sheet over this, that precious is, it's an ideal, in a chanami. That's the ideal. The ideal would be that a person shouldn't have to eat more than bread and salt and drink more than water or sleep in a bed or whatever, and that would be the ideal, even though, if that's the ideal, then there are very, very few people in this world who live a life like that, who are from, right, or who think that there's an ideal in living a life like that, except for rare Yotze min haklau, and that doesn't make sense that should be what the Torah is, especially since the Torah demands that a person eat and enjoy their eating or whatever. Okay, so that by representing right what basically okay, but after thinking about it, okay, Rav Aaron is partially right. Okay, and therefore I had to not ready partially. To right partially. It's not exactly what he said, but after thinking about it, there has to be some aspect like that. And like David, another one of my favorite adversaries, right? I'm right between them here. like David said, that's what I said is not 100% mashma in the Mesillas Yesharim, even though I think that when we'll get to it, we'll see that it is. But between the two of them, I want to say another possibility, and they're both true. What I told you last week is true, 100%. And if Shiva holds like that, whatever. That is one way of understanding Precious. There is another way, and even according to that other way, it's not the ideal. It's only a means to reach an end. We'll see what the end is in a second. It's a little bit different. Okay. It's not just that it's good to abstain instead of abusing. But there's other reasons to abstain from this world, and we'll see in one second what it is. Basic idea is the following. Let me start with the following to illustrate it. It says that if you ask, what are you going to eat after Shemitah? You didn't plant and harvest for a year, when there's Yovel for 2 years, and what are you going to eat? So the Rosh says, don't worry, I'm going to give you a bracha in the sixth year, and there will be a production enough for 3 years. You'll have 3 years production in the sixth year. Okay, and then you'll have what to eat for 3 years. The Svarno says, well, what happens if you don't ask? That's if you ask, what am I going to eat? You're not, you know, real big maimon, and you ask questions. So this is the bracha you'll get. What happens if you don't ask any questions, and you have blind faith in the Rabbanu Shalom, it doesn't bother you, you have faith that everything's going to be fine. You don't even ask any questions. So the Svarno says, you get a bigger bracha then. The bigger bracha is that you won't have 3 years of tzvua in the sixth year, but ochel kima umisborech b'meyov. You'll have 1 year's production, and it'll last you for 3 years. You'll only need, normally you eat for breakfast a whole bowl of cereal, right? So you need a lot of grain. You're going to end up being satisfied with a third of a bowl of cereal. So it'll last three times as long. So you'll have the same amount of tzvua, but mizborech b'meyo. Now, why is that a greater bracha? So there are many, many ideas. One simple idea is that if you have 3 years' crop in the sixth year, you have to do a lot of work. Right? This way, you don't have any work. You do regular work. You know, it's just bigger bracha. You don't have to do work too much. Second reason is that if you have 3 years' crops in the sixth year, it's going to really bug you that you're keeping Shemitah. Because you're going to say, wow, I could have had 3 years' crops this year too, and I'm not having it. So the Nisayan is less. If you only have 1 year's crop in the sixth year, it doesn't bother you that much that you're keeping Shemitah, you're losing only one crop. Here, you think you're losing three crops because you had that was your experience in the sixth year.
Yeah, but I would have to say, sorry, the argument doesn't hold true. But why didn't I get it in year two or year three?
What? No. It's not a question of emunah. It's a question of feeling bad. I said the last experience I had was 3 years' crops in the sixth year, and now if I stop doing, I'm thinking I'm losing out 3 years' crops because that's my last experience.
Certainly, but it's something that doesn't happen every year.
Yeah, I understand, but that's how people, you know, what's it called? If I won the lottery today, I feel bad that I didn't win it tomorrow, but I didn't win it for years, right? But the Maisa, when did I get tomorrow today? My last experience makes an impression on me. Other, what's it called, but the main idea they say is the following. That if you have 3 years of crop, so the danger is that you become dependent on that. The biggest bracha is that you shouldn't be dependent on material physical things. You shouldn't be dependent on them. Right? You shouldn't have to have them in order for you to feel okay in this world. You should be able to not be dependent. That's the main thing. Not to be dependent on physical and material things. And therefore, if you have 3 years of crops, you're more dependent on that tzvua. If you learn how to be happy with a minimum, mistapik b'muad, and that will satisfy you, right? That's a tremendous bracha. Okay. Now, therefore,
bracha not to need.
Right. Right. It's a bracha not to need, and not to feel a need. Right? Because what a need is, everybody has different. Okay, so people who feel that they're missing, you know, more, right, are poor people. And Sameach Bechelko is a person who's happy. You're happy with what you have. You're not dependent on more things to make you happy. That's one yisod. Second yisod.
Why is that different than people in the first year of the Midbar, the first week of the Midbar, going out on Yom Shishi? They got double. Did they feel badly they didn't get it on Yom Chamishi and Yom Vi.
Could be.
Could be. Could be that Sunday they felt, well, but there it was for two different days. So they didn't get anything really.
So
well,
they also
get
for 3 years.
They got for 2 days, and here they get for 3 years.
And here there's a bracha. They're told, this tells them that there's a bracha. So you're
what? Yeah, no, I understand that. But the thing is like this. But psychologically, right, person now has to not plant his field. And he's thinking to himself, wow, if I were to plant this field this year, look at the crop I had last year, I'd get that. So I'm denying myself, right, a tremendous amount. What's my last experience? This. Here, the person didn't have to do anything. Right, he got a bracha here, and he's getting one thing. It's not that he felt bad that he doesn't have more. It's just that now I can't plant my field. What am I losing? My last experience was a bumper crop. I'm losing a bumper crop. If my field doesn't produce anyway, so big deal, so I won't plant it 1 year.
But they know that for 40 years, Baruch Hu came through with this promise.
Right.
On Fridays.
Right.
Always got the double.
Yeah, but they didn't have to do anything not to do something. The word over here is not that I feel bad that I'm not getting 3 years crop on the first year, second year. That's not the idea. The idea is I have to go now and control myself not to plant my field. Right? What am I gaining by not planting? What am I giving up by not planting it? So my last experience was that when I plant my field, I get 3 years crop. Right? I'm giving up 3 years crop. Right? I understand that. I understand that. But a person psychologically goes by what his last. Right? If he gets a bonus. Right, and then he misses work or he gets fired. He feels bad, right, because he remembers the bonus he got the last thing, even though regular salary wasn't like that. But the last thing is what stays in your mind. Okay, so that's the shot, but that's one aspect. The in any case, it has nothing to do with this really. That was just extra, right? The main thing is that the bracha is that if you don't ask, you won't have to be dependent on 3 years crop. 1 year's crop will last you. You have less, but you'll be satisfied with it. That's the main bruch. Okay, so that's one thing. Second thing. Therefore, the less dependent a person is on material and physical things, the better it is. But if you do need them, then there's no inyan of depriving yourself of them. Okay, and this word was said by Nazir, by the Mashgiach Yeshiva of Chaim Stein, that's all. He said that a nazir is a chote. So we until now said the reason a nazir is a chote is because he's depriving himself of this world. And he should really be able to indulge. But he's kodesh because he recognizes that if he indulges, it's going to lead him to bad things. He's going to abuse. So therefore, he's holy in the fact that he knows his limitations. And he abstains from things that he could abuse. But he's not on the highest level because better he should indulge and not abuse. That was the way we explained it. He said a different pshat. He said like this, there's nothing wrong with abstaining from this world if you don't need it. A person doesn't have to go and get things that he doesn't need, that he doesn't feel a need for, right? It's only if you feel a need for that thing, then there's an inyan to use it properly, not to abstain from it, to use it properly. But if you have a need for it, and you know what's it called, that you're going to abuse it, then better to abstain. But the ideal would be to outgrow it. I don't need it. I can reach those levels without that. Even according to Rishonim, right? Things that you could have enjoyed means things that you need to enjoy, and you held yourself back for. According to this pshat, and therefore there is an ideal to try to become less and less attached to this world, and become more and more spiritual, and not to need those things. And the example is the following: a person can outgrow the need for things. Okay, if you have a little girl. And she's attached to her doll, her Elmo, okay? So she, what's it called, she needs that Elmo, and if you take it away from her, you're taking away her little baby, or her world is destroyed, right? She's dependent on that thing. You understand that before? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You're shaking your head, where's your Elmo?
Yeah.
Who doesn't know who Elmo is?
You mean Barbie doll?
No, I don't mean Barbie doll. I mean Elmo. In any case, so if I take it away from her, it's hurting her. She's dependent on it. But hopefully, right, when she's a kala, right, and I take away her Elmo that she happens to have in her room, she's not going to go crazy, right? Because, you know, she's being deprived of something that she really depends on. Right? If she does, that is pretty serious. So you can outgrow the need for certain things. You don't need it. You outgrew it. Right? I don't need that anymore. So it's not, to me, it's not a pleasure anymore. It's not something I'm giving up. That would be the Rishon Yerushalmi. Okay. Right. So that's why a Nazir, if he outgrew wine, I don't need that. I can get happy and be what's it called, be besimcha without wine. I don't need that as an aid. I can be happy without it. Right? I don't need that. Right? Whatever, yeah, okay, that may be an example too. So you can be happy without it, I don't need it. So if the Nazir outgrew it, right, that's one thing. Then he would never go back to being not a Nazir. He'd be a Nazir for life. But the fact that the Nazir goes back to drinking wine means that he really does need it, except that he has been abstaining from it and tsiyaratzmo min hayayin. That's the main thing. He is mitzayer himself. He gave something else that he does need. Then the ideal is use it. If you need it, use it. Use it properly. But there's a bigger ideal not to need it, to outgrow it. If he outgrew it, though, he wouldn't go back to drinking. When does he bring a chatas? When he finishes and goes back to drinking wine, then he has to bring a chatas. That's what the Telzor Shiva said. So, but if he remained a nazir for his whole life, he would never bring his karbanas, he would never bring a chatas. He outgrew wine, doesn't need it. It's not something that he needs. Okay. And that would be the pshat also of kachi darka shel Torah. If you want to know if you're on the path towards Torah, right? Not necessarily you have to live a life like this, but could you see that would be a goal? If you could eat bread and salt and not, it shouldn't bother you, and drink water measured out, and chaye tzar tichye, live a life of tzar, not to be mitzayer. Not that you're being Mitzayer, but you live a life that normal people would be Mitzayer, and to you it doesn't bother. And the Torah to Amil, you're so involved in Torah that these things don't bother you. I don't need them. They're not important to me. So that's already a Maila. However, it's still not a Maila in itself. And even the Mesillas Yesharim doesn't say that. This Maila appreciates as is a Hakdama to Kedusha. Kedusha means that you use everything, right, Liman Avodas Hashem, even the Hanos, and then Precious is a beginning. I separate myself that I shouldn't be dependent on material things. That's the Madrega. Once I'm not dependent on them, then I go back and use them for higher purposes. That's why the what a Talmud Chacham eats, what's it called, is like Nisachim, like Korbanos, or whatever. So precious is just it's a kli, it's an intermediary thing. That it could be like Rav Aaron and Rav David said, that in itself it is not just that it's better to indulge than abuse, or abstain than what's it called than abuse, but it is, there's a positive thing about abstaining. Why? Because you become not dependent on the physical world. But that's not the final. That Madrega. Once you're not dependent on the physical world, then go back and use everything in the world. Well, you're not dependent on it. You're using it. That's Mamish, like Rosh Hashanah said, Kedusha. You're like the Rabbanu Shel Olam. You're giving life to everything in this world, uplifting it, right, by being involved with every material thing. Right? Then go eat. But you're not eating because you need the Hanoah. That you've separated yourself from. Now you're eating in order to raise that food to a higher Madrega. It's Mamish like a Korban. That's for sure okay. So it's still not the goal. It's not the final goal. Because Kedusha, the way the Mesillas Yesharim explains Kedusha, is that you're involved in the world. You're eating, drinking. Right? But you're not doing it because you need that pleasure. You're doing it because you're using the thing. That's a different level. So there's indulgence, there's abuse, and then there's using the things, which is not indulging and not abusing. It's a higher level of using, of using these things as tools for Avodas Hashem. That's the highest level. So there is something special about abstinence in itself, that you should learn how not to be dependent on the world. But there's nothing intrinsically valuable in remaining at that level. That level has to reach you then to Kedusha, where then you again use the world. So it could be that Yerushalmi then could mean the second thing, that if you haven't reached that level where you're not dependent on the world, it's because you've separated yourself completely from the material world, you've outgrown it, but now you go back and use it, then you're going to be held responsible if you didn't reach that highest level of being able to use everything, not to enjoy, but to enjoy meaning to use it properly. That's a higher level, and that clearly Mishil Sesharim says is the Madriga Kedusha. So there is some level of Kedusha that after this Precious. So you can't learn the Precious as an end in itself, but it may not be totally only a lesser of two evils. It may be something positive to itself. That's as much a Moda, but only as a intermediary to reach a higher level, which is using the world, not indulging, not abusing, but using. Okay, is that pretty clear?
Every level is not ideal according to the next higher level.
Not at the highest level, but there's still there's a final goal, right? But Precious is not a final goal in itself.
Neither zeros.
What? Right, true. Right. They're all to reach a thing. So therefore, Precious is not an intrinsic value to itself. It's only a value along the way. But once you reach that, now there's a higher level of going back and using the world, of not being a Porish. Right? But you're being a Porish means being Porish from dependency on the world. That's a Maila. But being a Porish Stam is not a Maila in itself. Precious is not a Maila in itself. It's only Precious from either, like we said, from the lesser of two evils of abusing, or Precious from being dependent. One of the two. Right, the second one is more intrinsic, that there's something special. That you could say these gedolim, what's it called, didn't want to be dependent on the hanor of eating or whatever, and they were holding by that madrega. And in certain areas they were able to go and then use that for kedusha. But it wasn't that not eating and having any taste is a goal in itself. It's not a goal in itself. It's a means to reach a higher goal, but first you have to come to that. That's all. There's no such maila here in Yiddishkeit of separating yourself from the world except not to be dependent on it. Stam separating yourself is not a maila in itself. No maila stam preaches. Okay, there has to be some goal in it, right? What the preacher is supposed to give you, and then you can use that to go on to higher things. That's it.
Why does the Nazar make a carpool
Yeah, I understand that, but he should be able to uplift himself according to the first pshat in a better way. Drink the wine and use it for kiddush havdalah and bring yourself to simcha shel mitzvah. That's a higher level. The fact that he's not drinking the wine, right, knowing that if he drinks it, he'll abuse it and he'll end up doing things wrong, get shikr or whatever, right? So he's a Kodesh, he understands, he's uplifting himself and trying to avoid abusing this thing. But really, he should be on a higher madrig and be able to use it. Or according to the second way, right, had he outgrown wine, then fine. You don't need wine, dafka. Right? But he did not grow it. He's mitzayir atzmo. He really needs it. He's going back to it. Then other of them, the maila is use it properly and don't be mitzayir yourself. Because then you are dependent on it, and you're hurting yourself to hold yourself away from it. That's the idea. In fact, that's what the Meiri says is the idea of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not that you want to afflict yourself, even though in the Psukim it does mashmash, but he learns that that's not what it means. Pashtus. It means that by abstaining. Inui over here doesn't mean afflicting. It means abstinence, to abstain. Abstaining, it's not that you're hurting yourself, but you're supposed to on Yom Kippur reach a level where you don't need to eat and drink. Where you're like on the Madrega of Olam Haba. Why did he say that? He says that's the mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur. The mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur is that you should be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Now that doesn't mean if you don't eat Erev Yom Kippur extra, right, you're not going to be able to fast, because people fast on Yom Kippur, even they don't eat the day before, right? They eat minimal the day before, whatever. What it means is this, he says. He says the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur is not to feel afflicted, to think the whole time that you're hungry and you're thinking about the food that you're going to eat Motzei Yom Kippur. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to free yourself of being dependent, in the language that we're using now, he doesn't say these words, right? Being dependent on food, so you can free yourself to be involved in more holy things, more spiritual things for a day. So if you don't eat Erev Yom Kippur, you'll be able to fast, but your mind will be on your stomach the whole time. You're going to be starved, right? Thinking about the food you're going to eat Motzei Yom Kippur. So you defeated the whole purpose of Yom Kippur. The whole purpose of Yom Kippur is to free yourself from being dependent on food for a day and being able to concentrate on spiritual things without the desire to eat or the eating getting in the way. That's the ideal. So the ideal is not abstaining, right, in a way that you need it, but you're abstaining from it. Don't need it. So how do you do that? Eat a lot, Erev Yom Kippur, so you won't need food on Yom Kippur, and you'll be able to be free of thinking about those things and be totally involved in the spiritual. That's this Gedra Precious. That's what Precious is. Okay? But that's also not the goal, Yom Kippur. The goal is to then take what you learned on Yom Kippur and put it into the year. That's why Sukkot comes and there's v'samachta b'chagecha and eat and drink. Now that you learned on Yom Kippur how not to be dependent on the world, right? But to use the world, so use it. That's it called. You're not dependent because you're out in the sukkah. You don't need that house. But now you're, what's it called? You're eating and drinking and you're simcha with physical things because now you're using them as tools. You don't need them. You're using them. I think that's the whole hemshech of this second way. So there are two ways of looking at it, and the second way is closer to Rav Aaron's, but not exactly. There's still no intrinsic value of precious. It's a step along the way, that's all. But it's, as a step along the way, it's not just a lesser of two evils, it's a positive thing in itself. And that explains these gedolim that went to the extreme not to be, to teach themselves not to be dependent on the pleasures of this world. That's the idea.
Could be maybe they just don't enjoy steak anymore, rib steak, whatever. They have other enjoyments.
Yeah, that's right,
it's
so called.
Like they're trying to run away from it, it's just that it's not what calls
them. That's what I'm saying. They don't need it. It's like to them, it's like the 20-year-old to the doll. She doesn't need it anymore. It's not that I'm depriving myself of something because I've got to sleep my elbow every night, right? I don't need it, right? So you can outgrow certain things and you don't need them. People are dependent on certain things and then you see you don't need it. Remember when we were in Miami, so we convinced ourselves, I convinced myself, and I speak for my wife, that it is definitely a positive thing to have a swimming pool. Because, look, it's hot in the summer, and there's not too many places for separate swimming, and this way the children could enjoy, and my wife and son could have some place to relax or whatever, and invite people to the neighborhood so they don't go. It was mamish, like, you know, this is a real kli for Avodas Hashem. And then we moved here, and surely when we first moved here, our house did not have a swimming pool, except in the winter in the living room when it rained. But otherwise we didn't have a pool, surely not an outdoor pool. And we didn't miss it. Like, you know, you get used to not having it. It's not that every day we woke up in the morning and said, oh, where's our swimming pool? And, you know, what's it called? And we miss it so much or whatever. At least I didn't. But in any case, what's it called? So, you outgrow certain things. You don't need them anymore. That's the pshat. But if you need them and you abstain from them, that's like a wrong. That's what the nazir. If you need it, then use it properly. But there's a higher madriga, not to need it. Then there's even a higher madriga. Now I don't need it, but I want to use it for Avodas Hashem. That's even a higher madriga. That's Kedusha. That's the highest madriga.
To clarify what I said, there's a difference between a tachbula, a scheme, and a mida. Precious could be both, different properties. As a tachbula, is that there's something that a person needs to refrain from. So then he refrains from it, like Nazir, he refrains from it. But
that's the first pshat.
Yeah, that's more like what the Rebbe was saying.
That's the first pshat. Right.
That's not the Midah Precious. That's even before Chassidus, the Sitkus. You wanted to stay away from something, you need a Tachbula in order to get away from it. So here's what I'm talking about, the Midah. That's something not just a particular one thing to stay away from. It's totally separating things that are unnecessary. Not to running after the world. that's something that's not...
okay, that's the second shot.
But it's two different things. One is the Midah, one is the Tachbulah for one thing.
Okay, that's a Shaila. Maybe Precious is not a Midah. It's just a means to reach other Midahs. Right, on this ladder. It's something you have to be kona as a tachbula, but it's enochanami. It's not a midah to itself. Midah doesn't necessarily mean something that you kona that you have to remain with. It means that along the way you have to have that medida of measurement of knowing that not to abuse the world and how to shomer yourself not to. That's the midah. Midah is to shomer yourself not to abuse things because you use them the wrong way. That's also midah. Right? You're able to control yourself not to be dragged down by physical material things, but not necessarily not to be dependent on them. You could say it either way, right? I have a midah not to be dependent on the physical world or not to be dragged down by the physical world. One of the two. Either one could be midah. The way you're describing the midah. So either pshat could still fit into the midah sapricious. The only shaila is it merely, like you're saying, a negative kind of thing, or is there something positive intrinsically in it? But either pshat, it's not the goal itself. It's not the goal. It's not the ideal. There's something more that's an ideal. That's called kedusha.